calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania. And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, co-host, and with me today will be Matt Smith in the fifth episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith. I'll ask Matt his thoughts on the away victory for Fulham against Rotherham United. The show will be looking at Fulham from a coaching perspective, so I'm curious to hear what Matt has to share today. Before we get going and I bring Matt on the line, I just want to mention I apologize for some of the technical difficulties we have had lately. We are dealing with a Skype issue with blogtalkradio.com. We do not have access to Skype right now, so that's the reason why we have not been able to put on a post-match show of the Rotherham United match. But we will be talking about it here. So, in essence, this will be, I guess you could say, kind of taking the place of a post-match show. But Matt does look at it in a different way, and it should be interesting to get his take on this match. But again, we are working on the problem. We do want to do a transfer window review show. Once we have the Skype issue taken care of, we will be doing that show as well. All right. Well, it's time to bring Matt on the line. Matt, welcome back to the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith.
Hey, Russ. Good to be back. And, luckily, instead of having a post-match show, we can have this, so at least we can give the listeners something.
Absolutely. And again, just to explain why we can do this today, Matt and I dialed in directly. We're both here in the U.S., so that's why we could do this show, but unfortunately we could not do the other show, just to clarify that. But yes, listen, I've had so many people contact me wanting me to put on a post-match show, and I desperately wanted to, and unfortunately have not been able to. But we can do that here, kind of, Matt, but we'll be looking at it in a little bit different way.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is a little bit more in depth, but hopefully we can keep it entertaining and not too mundane, and so hopefully it still is very easy to listen to and has a lot of information in it.
Well, I think you're going to share a great deal here, and I've been dying to talk about this, so I look forward to hearing your take on what happened on Saturday, and let's get right to it. Just give an overall view of the 3-1 victory for Fulham against Rotherham United at the New York Stadium.
Well, it was quite a different team that we saw. Obviously, a lot of the same players, but just quite a different feel to the team that we had, in the past couple games at home. And it was great. It was the ball was really moving around. We were really flowing. We really were very dangerous. We were dangerous down the flanks, and I think that has a lot to do with some of the changes in personnel and things like that, which we'll get into in a little bit. But overall, a 3-1 road victory, regardless of who it's against in this league, you're going to take every day of the week. And, we knew, we thought maybe going in it was going to be another battle, kind of how it was last year. But, then again, we do also have their best player from last year on our team now. So
that's right.
So maybe that was a little bit of the change. But, definitely just to win away from home, points away from home are so precious. And, hopefully we can kind of convert that into some home victories as well. But, we're going to take them wherever we can get them and hopefully be able to use this as a springboard to kind of restart our season.
I completely agree with you. Listen, watching back, and I'm glad that I was able to actually watch back the replay, and I'd recommend everyone watching the replay because you're going to see a different Fulham side than you've seen in the matches before. I truly believe that. And, again, this is a Fulham side. I know that they're playing Rotherham United at the bottom of the table. Could be the worst team in the league. I get all that. Again, we'll see how things play out. But to go on the road, Matt, and have almost 60% possession, I think is a telling stat. You can't always read it into possession numbers, but I think it really showed itself true in this match.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, I've been able to delve a little bit deeper into the stats, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But, to also hold them to almost 75% pass completion rate, which at that level, you've got to be over 80, 85% in order to be anywhere close to successful. So if you can hold somebody below that, then, you're going to be in good shape. But, there's still some things that we've got to do a better job with. But I think overall, like we said, points on the road are points on the road. It doesn't matter who they're against, top of the table or the bottom. You've got to play who the schedule tells you to play, and you've got to be able to go play well and get points.
I completely agree with that. And like you said, the stats should be coming out with us just talking about this match. And let's now break down the side, and let's start here. And I'm glad that we could start here because, you know, last year we had a backup goalkeeper that not many fans liked, and for very strong reasons why. You know, we called him pajamas because that's what he was, that's what it looked like he was wearing. But what a difference a year makes. Break down the play of Andy Lonergan in this match, Matt.
I thought he was fantastic. I mean, I think it's easy, you know, it's easy for us to say he was fantastic because he saved the penalty. And I think it is definitely a very different game if that does go in, with them having plenty of time to just keep building their attacking things. But I think he played very well. He handled some crosses well. They really like to cross the ball early and float balls in and things like that. And I thought he held his ground very well. I thought he held things very well. Didn't give away a whole lot of rebounds when he was challenged. I think it's all overall just a very, very good performance. And, you know, obviously highlighted by the penalty save. But, I think he controlled the box. I think he controlled the pace of the game when he had the ball. He wasn't in a hurry. He wasn't trying to slow the game down when he didn't have to. And I think that's all you can really ask on the attacking side from your goalkeeper. But from a strictly, a defensive standpoint, I thought he was absolutely fantastic.
I totally agree. And let me just share this with you. Total shots, Rotherham had 13, and they actually had 7 shots on target. So that's a decent amount of shots on target, like you mentioned. He did save the penalty, which was crucial. But, Matt, I again, before we move on to the other positions, I want to ask you this, because goalkeeper, you know, last season, you know, again, we're dealing with a young goalkeeper, and then we had a backup. This year, you have an experienced goalkeeper coming in, and the confidence that he has, do you think that is also a factor in how the back four play? Because if he's showing confidence, then they're going to have more confidence.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it definitely goes both ways. I mean, I think if you have a shaky goalkeeper, who's rattled in confidence or who you don't have confidence in, I think you play a little tighter in the back, and therefore you're actually when you try to be more careful to not make mistakes, typically you do make more mistakes. And so, when you have confidence with who's behind you, then, you know, you're not, you know, when you get the ball, you're not too tense. You're very relaxed, and you know that, hey, listen, if we do make a mistake, we've got confidence in the guy behind us that he's going to take care of us and he's got our back. So it definitely can relax the players and allow them to play a little bit more of a free-flowing game.
Okay, very good. And you know what? I just want to say, watching the match and watching his presence, we're talking about Andy Lonergan, made me feel confident. I can imagine what that did throughout the team. And, you know, again, I hope Marcus Bettinelli will return quickly. You know, again, I have a feeling this is a long-term injury. The team is still learning exactly the details on it. But I feel confident with Andy Lonergan in net. And, again, huge difference from last year to this year. All right, Matt, let's move on. Let's talk about the fullbacks. I want to get your thoughts on Jazz Richards and James Husband. Just so you know, we will be talking a little bit more about James Husband a little later. But again, just an overall thought on how they played in this match.
Well, I thought they were actually very good. I thought that from a defensive standpoint, that both of them, you know, did their job and did what they needed to do. I think that from an attacking standpoint was really where they kind of showed the positive change. I think even Ashley Richards, he was the one who crossed the ball in, actually leading up to the goal. So
that's right.
And there was another dangerous cross that he put in as well. So, you know, it gives us another look, and it actually helps them when they can get further up the field in the attack. It actually helps them in defending as well, because they're bringing, when they're effective, they bring defenders back with them, and so they don't have to run as far to retreat to get to those players defensively, because they're actually tracking them. So it's kind of, you know, a give and take. So when you're effective in the attack, you actually don't have to run as far to defend, which sounds weird, but it's because you're pulling your player back that you have to defend, because they have to defend you when you have the ball. So, you know, when you're not effective in attack, that's when it can get a little dicey, because they can pin you back, or, you know, you can get caught in transition because we're giving the ball away, and then they don't have to respect you as much in terms of the defensive shape. So, I thought they played really, really well. I thought they definitely did their job, and you know, you can't really ask for anything else other than improvement. I thought Ashley Richards was a lot better than he was, and you know, I think James Husband came in and definitely did a great job. And you know, we'll talk more specifically about him in a little bit, but I think overall, I think it was definitely a positive game for them and something that hopefully they can build on.
I totally agree, and like you mentioned, we will be talking in more depth about James Husband and his effect in this match. But what's interesting, you were talking about the first goal by Fulman, how Jazz Richards pretty much set up the first goal. Again, it ended up being a rebound off of a header from Moussa Dembele, but it was set up by Jazz Richards. What's interesting is that the second goal was James Husband being pulled down in the box, fouled in the box, again, a run in the box. So he was a part of the second goal. So, again, it's very interesting to see how both fullbacks had a role in this match in both these two goals. Again, the third goal is a little bit different because that was later in the match. That had to do with Jamie O'Hara and Kali Woodrow. But the first two goals, the fullbacks had a hand in it, and that's actually encouraging, Matt.
Yeah, no, absolutely it is. And to see, you know, if you can have your fullbacks involved in 66% of your goals, you're going to do pretty well, because that means that they're getting forward and you're able to sustain attacks, because the higher they are up the pitch, the higher Pringle and Kearney can be up the pitch, which means the higher we can press defensively and win the ball closer to their goal and be a lot more dangerous. So, you know, if they can be effective like that on a consistent basis, you know, then that's, you know, it's only going to be good. So hopefully we can keep that consistent.
I totally agree, my friend. I totally agree. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the center backs. Dan Byrne was one of the center backs, and Tim Ream was the other center back. Talk about their play in this match.
Well, I thought it was, you know, you got to talk about him specifically, because I felt like Tim Ream was solid and steady and calm on the ball and, you know, really was a calming influence back there and won some aerial challenges and things like that. I thought Dan Byrne, you know, you can't say that he wasn't at least partly at fault for the goal that we gave up. You know, he turns, and it's something that we've talked about before, and early on in the season was, you know, he at times when he's simple is when he's effective, but when he tries to be a complex footballer with the ball at his feet, that's when we get in trouble. And you know, that's when teams are going to press him, because I think the scouting report on him is that he is a little bit weak with, you know, in possession and can be caught out and things like that, and that's exactly what happened. He was just caught in possession, could have played very, very simply, you know, out to Husbands or even back to Tim Ream where he had it, but instead he tried to do a little turn and get stripped of it, and they go on and score. So, you know, that's a little bit troubling, and you know, you can't say that, you know, the signing of Richard Stearman, you know, that was a coincidence, that something like that happened, and maybe that was the last straw. I know they were already in talks at the time, possibly, but
right.
But I think that was the plan all along. Was, you know, I listened back to the preview show and heard David talking about Dan Byrne, called him how nice of a guy he is, and that's great, and he is a nice guy, and that's fantastic, and you want those kind of people in your club. But if you want a team on the field full of nice guys, then prepare to be in League One or League Two. you know, you've got to have good footballers. Now, if they're great guys and good footballers, then fantastic. Then it's perfect. But he's just not getting the job done, and I think that's where Richard Stearman's really going to help us. But I thought Tim Ream was good. I thought Tim Ream was very good. You know, I think that he brings an experience and an international experience that, you know, he's going to be a very effective player. I mean, he completed 90% of his passes from out of the back, and that's really all you can ask for. You know, won almost half of his aerial challenges, which is excellent. And so, you know, that's really what you're looking for from a center back. And I just saw him do some things that made the game simpler for everybody else. And I think that's really the goal as a center back, is to make the game simple for everybody else. You know, don't try to overcomplicate things. That's for the playmakers. Overcomplicating things are for the playmakers, where you want to take risks up front and things like that. But when you're in the back, whether you're a fullback or especially a center back, you want to keep the game very, very simple for everybody and keep everybody out of trouble. So, you know, it was a game of two different performances from our center backs, and hopefully, you know, I hope that Dan Byrne does kind of learn, you know, kind of grow and turn into a good player, because I do like Dan Byrne, but I think that we're going to get a massive upgrade with Richard Stearman coming in. So, but you know, that's kind of where I stand on those two, and it's, I know it's kind of polar opposites, but, you know, at the end of the day, they got the job done. But I still, you know, I worry against better attacking teams, you know, if Dan Byrne's going to be up for it.
Okay. Fair enough. Very interesting take there. Matt, before we move on, I want to mention this about Tim Reamer. I want to get your thoughts on this during the radio broadcast. Gentleman Jim kept comparing him, I want to say a few times, to Aaron Hughes, which I think is a huge compliment. Do you see that kind of comparison?
Yeah, I mean, you can see it because how calm he is on the ball. And I always felt like Aaron Hughes always had like ice water running through his veins. You know, nothing rattled him. He was always very, very calm, very intense, but very calm at the same time. And you know, was again made the game very, very simple. You know, so like, you know, in comparison, you know, I said that, you know, Tim Ream connected 90% of his passes, Byrne connected at only 62%. And so we've got to have that calming influence. You know, we've got to have that Aaron Hughes type player. And I think that he is that. Now, I do think he's a little bit better in the air because he's got some height on Aaron Hughes. So I think that he can maybe even be able to bring an extra dimension to that type of player.
Okay, very good. You know, again, like you mentioned, they are a little bit different, but I think he was really focusing on the calmness that you've already talked about, Matt, the calmness of Aaron Hughes and the calmness of Tim Ream. I think Tim Ream is going to be a solid player for Fulham Football Club. I look forward to Richard Stearman joining that tandem, because I believe it will be Stearman and Ream. We'll see how that works out. But Dan Byrne is still going to be in the mix somehow. He'll still play. And we'll see how that all plays out. All right, Matt, let's move on to the midfield. And honestly, I think this is just my take. I think this is where Fulham thrived in this match, was the midfield. The play of Ben Pringle, Jamie O'Hara, Ryan Tunnicliffe, and Tom Kearney. I think this is where the match was won, but I want to get your thoughts on the midfield.
Oh, I thought they were fantastic. I thought Jamie O'Hara in particular, and not just because of the magic that he created for the last goal, but I thought that he was excellent. You know, he had, in the match, I believe we had 7 key passes, which this is from a new software that I have, but from key passes are basically defined as passes that lead to sustained attacks or passes that lead to chances.
Right.
And of the seven, we had 3 players that had key passes. And we had 7 total, and 4 of them were from Jamie O'Hara. And that's what you're looking for from a center midfielder, is somebody who's going to be able to put passes through in order to be able to create chances. And that's what he did, and he was 4 for 4 in those. You know, Ben Pringle had 2, but he also had 2 that were inaccurate. So, but O'Hara was 4 for 4, and I know I sing his praises a lot, but I think that he's been absolutely fantastic. Out wide, I thought we were very good. I think that our fullbacks actually helped that, because we actually had somebody to combine with backwards as compared to just going side to side or even forward. Being able to have that basically 180-degree, you know, look for support is important for wide players, because they can get isolated and sometimes they do need help to create 2v1 situations. So I actually thought the fullbacks actually helped that. But Kearney was very good. Pringle was obviously very good. But, you know, was definitely, you could tell he was up for the game. He was always going to be up for this game, going back to Rotherham, wanting to show those fans kind of who he is and things like that, even though I don't think things ended on horrible terms with them. But just, you know, going back and trying to show well for the fans that at Rotherham. So, but I thought they were very, very good. I actually thought Ryan Tunnicliffe played very well. I think that he showed what he showed is that, you know, maybe we do have a little bit more depth in center midfield that we thought. And so, you know, being able to bring somebody like LVC in off the bench could be huge. And then being able to stay fresh throughout the season, you know, could be a very, very important thing. And Tunnicliffe was all over the pitch. I mean, he was, was everywhere that we needed him, and defended very well, and and was decent on his passing rate. So, I was very, very happy. I think that the way that I look at games is, if you win the midfield, you're gonna have a very good chance of winning the game. If you can win the midfield, and I think we definitely did. I think that's probably the place where we dominated the most, and I think it shows on the scoreline.
I totally agree with you. And, Matt, what I found interesting, and I believe it was Mike Gregg who brought this to my attention on Twitter, he actually tweeted out a picture of the average position of the players in this match. And if you go back and you check all five matches, you can go on the Fulham website and check out the average position. And in this match, there were pairs all over the pitch. And that's what you want to see. You want to see players together. You want to see the fullback and the midfielder together. On both sides, they were together. You want to see your center backs together. They were all in very good positions. That's what I found interesting. This is the one match, if you go check out all five, they're not all like this. This is the one where I felt that the positioning was spot on for everyone. And that's what was so impressive about this victory is that, again, you could see it in so many different ways. You could see it in the stats. You could see it in this average position. More importantly, you can see it if you watch the replay. You could see the dominance. You really can. You know, again, I'm listening to it, and I could feel the dominance, but until I actually watch the match, do I really see it? And Matt, before we move on, I do want to mention this, because we've talked about this a great deal. Let's go back to Jamie O'Hara. I saw Jamie O'Hara make passes. We've talked about this. That reminded me of Danny Murphy. There was one pass over to the left that, again, was just brought back memories of Danny Murphy that set off Ben Pringle off on the left. And I'm thinking, okay, we finally have that replacement for Danny Murphy, Matt.
Absolutely, yeah. And the more I see him, the more that I agree with that. He even kind of looks like him from a distance with the shaved head and kind of shorter stature. And, you know, maybe I think Danny may have had him a little bit in terms of muscle mass. But O'Hara is definitely that kind of player. And you know, like we talked about this, after the first match is, you know, what Danny Murphy did so well is he controlled the pace of the match. He dictated how fast or how slow we were going to go forward. And Jamie O'Hara is doing the exact same thing. And, you know, especially on the road, if you can dictate the pace, then you're going to have a great chance of getting the result. And that's what he's doing. He's picking our spots. He's being kind of the maestro, if you will, to our attacks and saying, okay, hey, it's not on, let's be patient and build, or, hey, it's time to go, there's room to go, I'm going to ping one out to Ben Pringle, and now we can go quickly. He's putting on a master class right now, and it's been fantastic, and I just hope he can keep it going.
I agree with you. And you know what? Listen, you know, we could talk about the transfer window. We're going to be talking about that in a future episode. But to get this player on a free, it's truly unbelievable. To get Ben Pringle, him, and also get Andy Lonergan all on frees, it's good business. You know, again, Fulham should be spending money. I agree with that. But if you can do good business like it is bringing in these players, especially a player like Jamie O'Hara, it's incredible. And I think Jamie O'Hara could be a huge part of Fulham's future this season and hopefully moving forward. You know, again, he's 28, 29. He's getting up there, but he still has some good seasons left. And he does remind me of Danny Murphy. I'm not afraid to say that. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the strikers up front. Let's talk about Ross McCormack, Moussa Dembele, and Colley Woodrow, who came off the bench and got the third goal.
I thought they were very good. I thought Dembele really showed his pace at times. I thought that there was one attack in particular where he was able to basically beat their center back to a clearance, and we were able to get on the end and have a chance there. And he's just a nuisance with his pace. I mean, he is going to, if your center backs aren't aware and are a step slow or even a half step slow, he's going to be an absolute nightmare to defend. And then with Ross is doing a better job. He's definitely, you can tell, he's starting to get his confidence back, and he's starting to begin to play kind of where we want him to play, a little bit higher up the field. What I've been looking at is kind of where he's received the ball and kind of how throughout the season it's gotten further and further up the pitch. I think it's something that you and I have talked about we worry about him dropping too far into the midfield and having to beat two or three players and having to go 60 yards before we can build an attack. But in this match, you know, he definitely is receiving the ball higher up the field. He's, still showing out wide very well and stretching the defense and showing into channels. His pass rate was very, very good, and he's completing passes, and he's being dangerous. And obviously converting a penalty is never bad. You know, I guess it's not the best chance in the world, but you've got to finish what you have. You know, you take what's given to you, but you know, so you've got to applaud what he's doing. He's definitely kind of hopefully starting to turn the corner. But Musa was very good, very active, kind of all over the pitch. Very, you know, we talked about he's a lateral threat. He likes to show, you know, he likes to stretch the defense and get into channels before he tries to get in behind, as compared to Matt Smith being more of a true target. You know, I thought he was very good. And then Colley, you know, came in, super sub, scores again. And so you can't really, you know, he doesn't really get a lot of time, but what he does is he uses his time wisely and he affects the game and is in the, and a lot of what he is in the right place at the right time. I mean, if you can average somewhere between 20 minutes a game and you're scoring almost a goal a game that you appear in, then you're doing something right. And, you know, I think that what he does well is he positions himself well and puts himself in the right spots to where he can be dangerous and he can put goals away. So, you know, those people are invaluable. Those people that just kind of have that instinct and kind of just that knack, kind of a Ruud van Nistelrooy kind of quality of people who just score goals. And it looks like he could possibly be that kind of player for us.
Listen, I agree with that. And what's interesting, I'm glad that you're spotlighting him a little bit. We're going to be talking about the differences between him and Dembele in a few minutes. But going back to him, look at the third goal. If you go and you check this out and you watch Jamie O'Hara, he is looking at and screaming at O'Hara and telling him where he wants the ball. And O'Hara gave it to him exactly where he wanted it, where he could score. Again, that shows maturity of a striker that knows where he needs it. He got it and he scored, and that to me was impressive, Matt.
Yeah, and I think you know, sometimes the mistakes that young strikers make is they go just chase the ball. They go and they just want to go find the ball everywhere. And what you'll see the more experienced striker is they'll say, okay, I've actually got to be a couple passes ahead. He's going to beat this guy, then he's going to need me to be in this space. And so, you know, he's shown a pretty good knack of being able to do that and being in the right space at the right time. And that you're right, that does show a lot of maturity, because there's a lot of young forwards out there that really just chase the ball down and think that that's the only way that they're going to be able to get on the ball. So, you know, as compared to being very patient and just filling the spots he needs to fill and then taking chances when we get them.
Okay, very good. And like I mentioned, we'll be talking about Colley, Woodrow, and Moussa Dembele coming up. But before we do that, again, I'm calling this section now called Coaching Situations, just to get your thoughts on it. Now, let's go back. Let's drill down a little bit more and talk about James Husband, because I want to talk about his impact in this match. I thought it was huge. And, again, he comes in at left back and from Kai Voser, and Kai Voser beforehand didn't seem to get forward a great deal. James Husband definitely got forward a great deal. So let's talk about this. How integral was his ability to get forward into space, affect the play of Ben Pringle and the rest of the midfielders, not just Pringle, but everyone involved?
Well, I mean, if you think about it like this, if he is able to get higher up the field, then it gives Ben Pringle not only abilities to get higher up the field, but easily he can pinch in a little bit more and clog the space defensively, but also be on the back post to, I don't know, maybe knocking a rebound from a header, you know, in order to score the first goal. So, you know, I think that he may have even, you know, oddly enough, you know, Husband may have had a small part in that, because if he's high enough to support, Pringle has the freedom to be able to cut inside because he doesn't have to hold the width because we have somebody there. So, you know, just the way that he attacks, and there was one in the second half where he gets the ball just inside our attacking half and just drives into a space just slightly inside, kind of down the channel into the outside back's inside shoulder. And that is absolute chaos for the defense. When you have an outside back driving into the middle of your defense, that's very hard to deal with, because then your number's down. Because then somebody's got to come from somewhere else to cover that, and which is going to put your numbers down in another place, and so it's kind of a domino effect. And so to see him, you know, Voser, when he did get forward, it was very mundane. It was very average. It was very kind of predictable, and he's going to do this, and he's going to go at this pace. But when Husband got the ball, I mean, he looked like a wide midfielder driving at those guys. And so that's definitely something that is going to affect is going to definitely help our attack and things like that. And not only our attack from him, but our attack in other areas. But it's going to free up Ben Pringle. I mean, I think it's going to relieve him of kind of having to keep the width and allow somebody else to be able to do that. So he could probably, you know, make that run into the back post like he did for the first goal.
And what's interesting about Husband, he came in like he had been with the team all summer. You know, again, he was with us on loan. I wanted Fulham to bring him back. I wanted Fulham to sign him. They brought him in for only a month. And, again, for cover, probably until Luke Garbutt returns. And Matt, you know, again, I don't know the ramifications of this loan deal. You know, again, it's only a month. But, you know, do Fulham possibly have something that they need to really think about? You know, again, you are now invested for the year with Luke Garbutt long term. You know, it's a 1 year loan. What if Husband keeps on playing well? Does that give you an issue to deal with?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. I think he looks very, very comfortable. I think he is comfortable with the club, is comfortable with the players around him, and so you know, it could present an issue, but a good issue, I think.
A good issue.
Yeah, and you know, it could be a problem, but I think it's a problem that a lot of coaches would love to have. So, but you know, yeah, absolutely, I completely agree. If he keeps playing like this, then Garbutt's gonna have to come in and actually show himself to be, you know, worthy of us sending Husband back. You know, if not, maybe there's some kind of clause that maybe we can extend in the contract. I'm not sure about that, but.
Right.
But you know, if he can repeat this performance, it's going to be hard to see him go.
I think that's the part of this that really gets me thinking about it. Because again, if he does this consistently, again, he's only with Fulham for a month, and of course we're on the international break. What if we see two or three more performances like this, and you could see how he fits in so well? It's you know, again, I'm a little concerned about what would happen when he leaves. Nothing against Luke Garbutt. Luke Garbutt could potentially do the same exact thing, but you have a player right now that just fit right into the squad and made a difference and just showed how important having a fullback that can really get up the field makes to Fulham Football Club, Matt.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And it changed the way we played the game. And when you can have one or two players that do that in a positive way, you know, you're definitely going to try to keep them.
Yeah, I totally agree that it's going to be an interesting situation just to follow. You know, again, like I said, James Husband's only with Fulham on a month, and we'll see how this all plays out. And let's just hope that he keeps playing the way he played in this match. All right, let's move on. Now let's go back, because I really want to talk about the play of Colley Woodrow and Moussa Dembele. How much of an impact was the change of bringing on Colley and taking off Moussa, besides the obvious of him scoring the goal? What did he offer that, say, Dembele didn't? How did things change for Fulham?
Well, I think things changed just by simply a fresh pair of legs. I think when you have Moussa there stretching the defense and, you know, side to side and back to front, you know, the last thing that the center backs probably wanted to see was a fresh forward come off the bench, and somebody is, you know, is dangerous and somebody who's scoring goals and is confident is Colley Woodrow right now. That's probably the last thing they wanted to see. You know, so I think that's probably the biggest impact is the fact that we can bring somebody in with the quality and the confidence right now that Colley Woodrow has. And, you know, you don't want to say that he's a, you know, that Dembele is kind of kind of just somebody who runs around and makes people tired. But really, in essence, that's what he does, is just because of his pace, and you have to respect his pace and his technical ability. And he's going to be a nuisance and a hard worker. You know, and so he puts his 75, 80 minutes in, or 70, 75 minutes in. And, you know, and then Colley comes in and, you know, you've got to deal with somebody fresh who's been on the bench for 70 minutes and just hanging out and watching the game. So, you know, it definitely presents a challenge for the center backs. But, you know, they are very different players. They're very, very different. I think Moussa is more of a what I call it's what I call a kind of a blow your brains out good, kind of a wow. Like you when you see him, you're like, okay, that guy's good. I think with Colley, I think you got to watch him a little bit. I think people who see him once may not really respect his talent. I don't think that they really, are going to appreciate his abilities. I think, but when you watch him time and time again and see how consistent he is, at least how he has been this year, then I think you have a little better appreciation for kind of what he does. And so, there's the subtle talented and there's the kind of blow your brains out talented. One is very in your face and you can tell it right away. The other, you got to kind of see a little bit, and there's some subtleties to their game and to their talent. So, I think it's a pretty good balance, and I love that they got Woodrow in more than just 15 minutes. I think it was good that he got him in before the 70th minute so that he could actually get into the game, and still have about 15 minutes once he's into the game to really affect it.
It's a very good point because, again, we went back to the last time that we did a show, and, again, when he comes in and has a little bit more time, he could potentially affect the game. I think he affected, obviously, positively. He does score the goal, but even beyond that, like you said, fresh pair of legs, offers something a little bit different. Positioning is real good, knows where to be to put himself in position to potentially score, and that's valuable. But like you mentioned, Dembele's different. Dembele is he's not the finished article yet, but once he really puts it all together, he could really be a great striker. And I'm glad that he's still with Fulham Football Club right now. I know he's on the last year of his deal, but I'm glad that he did not leave in the transfer window. He's still with us because, again, we still have the injury to Matt Smith. So Ross McCormack, Moussa Dembélé, and Colley Woodrow will all be playing a great deal together, two at a time, probably. But, it's good that you have options now at the striker position. All right, Matt, go ahead.
Sorry, just one quick thing is, and I think one thing that could be kind of understated is the signing of Gary Hooper. I think that what he may bring is experience and be able to kind of teach Colley Woodrow and Moussa Dembele kind of just from his experience to be able to kind of help them along. And he's a proven goal scorer at every level. So, he's going to be another great option for us.
Again, the loan deal didn't go through, Matt. Let's hope
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. There was much speculation, and unfortunately, it did not go through at the very end. What ended up happening was, again, this is all speculation, that Norwich City were trying to get Dwight Gale in, and it was kind of if they got Dwight Gale in, then potentially they would let Hooper come to us. But the loan window does open up, I believe, a week from today, so there is still an opportunity to get him on loan. But right now, he's not a Fulham player.
Yeah, and I guess the last thing I saw when I was leaving the office was that he was virtually in. But sorry about that. That was a little inaccurate.
No. I wanted Gary Hooper to come to Fulham Football Club. I thought he was going to be like an added value bonus, offering something else, and like you said, help out the players. It could still happen. We just don't know at this point, Matt. But that loan window does open in a week's time, and Fulham will then have a chance to get a striker if they want, if they feel a need. But in the meantime, I like the fact that they do have Woodrow and have Moussa Dembele there that can get more game time. All right, Matt, now let's finish up the show. This is something that I'm really curious your thoughts on. And, again, when we go back to the episode where we talked about the Cardiff City match and how Fulham, I thought, ended strong in that match, Fulham only got a point. For me, it was about the response after giving up a goal. Well, we have another situation. I want to get your thoughts. After giving up the goal, Fulham closed the match very strong as they controlled the play late and got another goal. How encouraged are you by this mindset of the players that after they give up the goal, they're looking to get another goal?
Well, I think it was definitely a big difference that it was only a goal that kind of came from a pretty big mistake. It wasn't a build-up and a breakdown of the whole team. It was kind of an individual mistake, and you can kind of – those, at times, even though the player may be a little bit you know, out of confidence, things like that, with Dan Byrne doing that. But I think those are easier to kind of pick one person up as compared to if somebody, you know, if they just broke down our whole team. And, you know, that would have been a lot of, that would have raised more red flags. But no, it was fantastic. I think that shows that maybe we're growing in confidence. I think that shows you know, the leaders on the field are definitely going to keep us going. And I think that, you know, what I think we saw was our team knew we were the better team in the match. You know, we didn't, you know, we didn't give up. We didn't, you know, we knew we had the confidence to say, okay, hey, we should win this game. We shouldn't draw this game. Let's not let them back in it. You know, so I think the confidence is definitely there. And, you know, and to be able to come forward and run at them and get some opportunities is always, especially right after a goal, is always something that kind of states your intent to the other team. You know, so it is good. And, you know, what we want to do, though, is we want to see that more consistently. You know, you don't want to make a knee-jerk reaction and go, okay, this is the way it's going to be from now on. Maybe it will be, but let's wait and see. You know, you don't want to I know it's cliche, but you do want to take things, you know, one game at a time. You know, our next match, you know, a week and a half from now is going to be a much different animal. So you'd love to see it again. You know, you've got to be kind of cautiously optimistic. And hopefully what Kit says she says, okay, they go back and look at the film and they say, okay, this is the kind of response that we need to have for any goal we give up, whether it's one that we go 1-0 down, or they come back and tie us, or they, or they're still, or we're still a goal up. Like, we don't let a team back in a match. So I think that's something that they're really going to concentrate on and should concentrate on with the players of, hey, this is the kind of response that we need. We've seen negative responses. Now we have the positive response as the most recent. And so hopefully you can take that and build onto it.
Listen, I totally agree. And, you know, again, when I'm looking at some of these matches, even the Brighton match where they had that mistake late in the match by Sean Hutchinson, Fulham were definitely on the front foot trying to score, and they were the more dominant team, and that's why that match really hurt. I'm talking about going back to the match against Brighton. You know, that really hurt. That match really hurt. But again, for me, it's about a mindset. It's about showing confidence, Matt. It's about, you know, again, not letting your head drop. You know, in years past, you know, I'm talking about the last few years, we would see the players' heads drop, and then one would become two, and they would lose the match. But very good point by you was, you know, again, it was probably a confidence feeling that they knew they were a better team and that they, you know, that they should not give up that second goal. And they didn't, and they, like you said, they actually scored the third, and they were pushing for the third. That, to me, was very nice to see, but good point by you, seriously, for not taking too much out of it, because we need a larger body of work to see if this trend continues. They can do it next week, you know, finish off teams. And this is this was encouraging, but I personally shouldn't get too carried away. I am getting a little carried away, so maybe I need to dial it back. All right. Very good, Matt. Listen, we have less than a minute and a half left. I want to thank you so much for doing this with me. You were fantastic today, my friend.
Oh, I appreciate it, Russ. It's always a lot of fun to kind of pretend I'm the manager for a little bit, for a couple minutes with you. So it's always a really, really good time, and I love doing it.
Listen, I love doing this with you. Again, I'm sorry to the Fulham supporters that we're not able to do a post-match show, but I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Coaching Corner. I love doing this with you, Matt. It's just so much fun to really go a little bit deeper, you know, look into like a mind of a coach and really look at things in a different way. And I just love doing this with you. Anyways, any final words before we go? We got less than 50 seconds left.
No, I'm just really looking forward to the next time. I know we have this weekend off, so hopefully the guys can get some rest and we can come back out of the break and be ready to kind of build on this performance. But, yeah, looking forward to next time.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's going to do it for the fifth episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith. For Matt, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Matt.
Cheers, Russ. Thanks. Let me do the fire away.
the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls.